relating those to the guidance code.
Okay. That gives me a better understanding of timeline on when it became familiar, when it became something.
Yeah, back in that
time. So been that 06, 07, 08?
Yeah, correct. Okay.
All right, I guess we'll ask if anyone's here in remonstrance or opposition of the petition, come forward.
To get the thumb drive to work.
State your name and address.
Okay.
For the record, please.
For the record, my name is Mike Ziga. My address is 1573 Lake Shore Drive, Unit 101. I am the president of the COA for Redbud, and I speak on behalf of the residents there. And I am here today to ask the commission to deny granting Briarwood any nightly rental zoning. I have owned the condo since 2009, and I know for a fact that I could help answer the questions about when nightly rentals started and all that, because I've been there. I could see that. And I know for a fact that until recently, Briarwood neighbors have not been renting condos nightly, contrary to what has been reported by the representatives at this meeting and the other meetings. So if I could go back in history, because the economy tanked in 2008, Briarwood's developer, David Hover, could not sell his condos. So he rented them out long term. My friend's girlfriend, Brenda, who managed Percera, was one of the long term renters for years. The developer could not do nightly rentals, and Briarwood could not until David sold 75% of the condos, which is that 75% is in their covenants. It was about 10 years later roughly that he handed over the declarant rights to the current COA. Now, during this time, no condos at Briarwood were nightly rentals that he had, but then he transferred the declarant rights over. Now, for those like 10 years, Redbud enjoyed the peace and quiet of not having nightly rentals next door. As a matter of fact, the Taney County Tax Assessor's Office confirms that only one Briarwood unit has ever paid taxes as a nightly renter since 2017, which is Unit 203. That's a handout I gave you. And then another, Unit 208, has only paid taxes as a nightly rental since 2009. This tax information proves that Briarwood has never been, since the beginning, around 2008, nightly rentals. It's just been recently that they've done it. And those who claim it has, but never reported their nightly rental status to the tax assessor, should owe a substantial amount of back taxes. At the last meeting, Rob Hefner claimed he wasn't aware of any inappropriate conduct from nightly renters, and that's mainly because he didn't become the head of the COA until July 2020, when the previous head, who I know, sold at Briarwood and moved to our condos, and to escape that exact conduct that I brought up at the last meeting. That's what she told me. That's why she moved. But it is also because Rob Hefner never answers his phone. And so this bad behavior, along with Briarwood's refusal of the out-of-state owners to cooperate in the collecting of DNR-required water samples had prompted me to ask for on-site management, one of your requirements as well. There is no posted signs on any of the condos. I went there trying to get water samples. No posted signs of who the on-site manager is, who the contact number is, nothing. So we couldn't satisfy the DNR requirement. And also, are you aware that when the P&Z asked Rob last time who his on-site manager was, he gave you the name of a maid service, of all things? And then he offered up Maples Properties, who is not an on-site manager. They're a property manager that they do Briarwoods and Redbuds finances. That's what they manage. They don't manage property. So an on-site manager could have helped us meet the DNR requirements, but there was none. And in fact, I can't mention the water quality and quantity enough. The commissioner definitely needs to supervise our situation. To make sure that there is enough clean water for both parties. Water is now being run near capacity by a few retirees with good intentions, but we are not professionals or experienced in that field. And so out of necessity, and without the cooperation of Briarwood, we've been doing it. Now, I need to say that over the last, like, at least a year, I've been trying to get several companies to take over our water. And I started out with Ozark Clean Water. They're not-for-profit. They turned me down because we didn't have enough connections. Their lowest connection was 100 connections, and we had 22. And it wouldn't pay. He took it before the board. I mean, this was a long process, and he denied me. Next, I went to Liberty Utilities. They had engineers out at our site. There's three trucks. They all looked at it, and they said they ran the numbers, and it wouldn't work for them, so they turned me down. Then I went to Taney County Water District number two and talked to Kevin there. Kevin told me that because he would like to take it over, but because per DNR requirements, we had a radon issue, we installed a water softener. He said, because we have a water softener, we're classified as a treatment plant. He does not have a treatment license, so he couldn't take it over. He said, why don't you talk to Ozark, Tim Thorson works for Ozark as well. That's his employer. And he checks out our quality every week. And why don't you ask him if I could shadow him for 6 months? And then I could. I already did the schoolwork. All I need is to get a certificate to treat for a treatment certificate. And Tim didn't want to give up his money. You know, if he trains, so he's training somebody to do his job, and then he'll lose his income. So I've been working at doing it. Well, I do not want to do water. I'm not experienced, but I'm trying to get it done, and I'm still in the works. So I'm still trying to do it. So I just want that to be known that we definitely need professionals to run it and take over. But I would ask that if the representative for the lifestyles that they want to come to our well and run tests to see if there's a capacity. I would ask that the DNR supervise that because they're the experts. They would know what we need. and what we don't need. And that, but anyways, that's besides the point. I said that we've been doing this without the cooperation of Briarwood, and I know that can't be done if you live in Alaska or Oregon, but you can have an on-site manager, and there isn't any. So I just wanted on record that the water quality needs to be addressed if there's nightly rentals. So in closing, I am so dedicated to preventing nightly rentals in the residential neighborhood because in Branson, I've witnessed the timeshare industry devour prime residential property in order to make a buck. And now with the rise of nightly rentals, like at Chateau Mountain, there's hundreds and hundreds of them. I see VRBOs further destroying quiet residential neighborhoods just to make a buck. So where am I supposed to live anymore? Help. That's why I'm asking the commission for help to preserve the residential zoning that is already in place and which has been in place since April. I appreciated that someone was looking out for the quiet, peace-loving residents in Redwood condos when we were designated residential in April. And I believe that that residential rating should supersede any covenants in question. And I want the best outcome water-wise for both communities. We need to remain healthy. But more rentals means more water, and I cannot guarantee right at this moment that we can supply more water without help. So I thank you for your time, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you for all the information you presented. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mike Bilbrey. I'm secretary over at Redbud Shores for the Homeowners Association. Scott, could I get you to blow that up just so I believe we were here last month and argued against Lifestyle Contractors building. I just want to bring Mr. Schofield up to par on how these two developments are intertwined. Could you pull that down a little? Thank you. So although this overlay doesn't sit right on the building that houses the 8 units, you can tell that's a high-rise building there, I believe. And right next to it are two pads, I mean attached pads, where they were going to build two more 8-unit complexes, but the gentleman didn't do it because it was 2008. He couldn't sell what he had. But Lifestyle bought those properties, and they intend to build 8 units each on either side, south and north of that property, in addition to develop this area down here with 5 cottages, just so you know the lay of the land. So what you're doing with respect to these 8 condos, I believe, will set a precedent of what can happen with respect to Lifestyle Contractors. And I would point out that the Planning Commission denied Lifestyle Contractors zoning change last month. Mike has gone over quite in depth some of the issues we have with respect to just nightly rentals in general, but I have a more basic request for you to consider. They are 6 units out of 10 that have come to the Planning Commission and now you commissioners to be rezoned. So that leaves 4 properties that are going to remain, I think it's R3, is it? Or R1?
R3.
Whatever, residential, not
multifamily. Multifamily, right.
So my question is, I thought land use and zoning and planning dealt with the land, not with individual units within a condominium structure. So you're going to have in the building 4 units zoned, if you approve this, 4 units zoned nightly rental and 4 units residential. I'm unaware of any situation where that's a proper land use development. First of all, let's take it to the absurd. Let's take a 40-unit condominium. They come in and request 10 of them want nightly rentals. Four of them went commercial. A couple of